Hello everyone, and welcome to the Bactiguard Q2 Report 2019. The presentation for this can be found on our website, www.bactiguard.com, under For Investors. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I am pleased to present Christian Kinch, CEO, and Cecilia Edström, CFO. I will now hand you over to Christian Kinch. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone, I'm Christian Kinch, and the CEO of Bactiguard, and welcome to the Q2 report today. I will now be referring to the presentation, as you heard from the moderator, to be found on our website, and we dive straight into the second page, looking at the financial highlights. Given the results also today in the market, I would like to say and summarize the quarter with, it's been an eventful quarter for sure, but of course I cannot say anything else that I'm not satisfied with the earnings. In order for us to get a better understanding, we need to dive into the financials and also see what's the underlying reason for this. For the second quarter, as you see, the sales came in at 34 million SEK, substantially lower than last year. We do need to remember, though, that this comparison is somewhat challenging given that last year in this quarter, we signed a very substantial deal with Welded in China, and that is of course affecting the comparison with some 15.8 million. I do like to draw your attention to the fact that we are still seeing lumpiness in between the quarters, but I'm very pleased to say that the underlying sales is growing, and this will also be reflected in this last two quarters of the year. BIP sales thereby also was lower, down from 14.9 million to 3.2 million, and this is mainly explained with the large delivery we had to China in last year's second quarter, and the growth in other markets could not offset this difference. License business and the license revenues is stable, and I would like to focus on the BD revenues actually coming in somewhat higher. Of course, new license revenues from agreements with Welded is though lower compared to last year quarter. When we look though at the EBITDA margin, you see that it's in line with last year. Let's say again, I do emphasize that the underlying business is stable. Looking at the net profit, it is negative, but I also like to remind you all that we do constantly take the write-off and the depreciation of our technology with some 6 million SEK per quarter, which is not cash flow affecting. The operating cash flow was somewhat negative. Let's turn to the next page. Now I'm on page three. As I said, it's been a very eventful quarter, and I would also like to say that it's been a very eventful summer. From a media perspective, every single day, more or less, we open up a magazine or so, you will be attacked by news about multi-resistant bacteria. Just to give you some ideas, first of all, there was a very scaring article in The Economist of a scenario into 2041 about what's happening in the healthcare system, given that we are under attack by multi-resistant bacteria. I do recommend you to take part of it. On the right side, we also see WHO's leader, Mr. Adhanom Ghebreyesus. He is basically saying that this is one of the biggest challenges of our time, as for or well in line with climate change. Just in Sweden, we see some 160 people dying annually from infections where antibiotics are not effective anymore. Going to China, our main market, it's very frightening to conclude that when you look in the rural areas, you do see a very, very frightening development of multi-resistant bacteria, and somewhere 80% of the population in those areas are carrying multi-resistant bacteria. We have been, as you are aware of, present in China for quite some time, and we have very strong relations into the healthcare ministry, and it's a concern that there are also very negative incentives from the pharmaceutical industry, where a lot of the doctors are getting kickbacks from prescribing antibiotics. So, turn to the next page. Even in our home market, it's been numerous cases about severe trends in multi-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which is the MRSA, doubling in Sweden. We're also seeing the ESBL activities going in the same trend. So why do we emphasize on this? Because this is something that we see on a global perspective. We are seeing much more of a pull effect from numerous activities around the world that is going to work in our favor. So let's move to the next page, looking at some operational highlights. Why do I choose the word an eventful quarter? Because it has been eventful. Bactiguard, we have now been driving this business for some 15 years. We are now going into what we internally say the second phase of the Bactiguard story. We are moving into Bactiguard 2.0. And I would like to draw your attention to the last points here. We are strengthening Bactiguard in all areas. Taking from the board, for example, we are extremely proud that we announced Professor Anna Mattling being the deacon at KI and also a professor in colon cancer. This is critical for us to get a stronger voice in the healthcare environment. We are also soon releasing our newest recruit to the management team, also strengthening our medical competence, someone that has been working inside of the medical field for quite some time with a very strong background in the area. Looking, though, from the top, what has, though, happening? Well, we did sign, for example, with both Canada and Switzerland. This is good. But the primary focus for Bactiguard is, without a doubt, to increase our activities mainly in China, India, and Europe. And in Europe, it's mainly Germany driving our activities. We are focusing on adding another 1 to 2 European markets, and we will do so going forward. Looking at the business and where our products are being used, I'm not going to say that we are repositioning our offer because we're not. But we have also seen very strong results in, for example, elderly care and home care. I'm not going to say that Poland nor Greece is going to drive our future results. But it's interesting to see how it market like Poland can drive recurring sales in the elderly care and the home care segment by positioning the offer in a very positive way. This has also been strengthened by the new clinical case study from Sweden, where we have seen very, very good results in this area. We're also very happy that we received the research grant. I will come back to this for developing vascular stents. This is also opening new opportunities for the Bactiguard technology, and we will be working in this area very closely also with Professor Staffan Holmin from KI. We are allocating more and more resources to our license business. I will come back to that just shortly. And as I've said, we do have several ongoing discussions. They are driving forward in a very positive manner, and we are hoping to capitalize result-wise on that going forward. So let's move to the next page. Just a quick update from around the world. As I said, starting in the East, China, we are working very, very closely with Welly. We are also recruiting people from our own organization into China. We are expanding activities with their sales team. We are doing regular training activities. We are seeing good positive results in how they add also local distributors and dealers for increasing the coverage of the Chinese market. Here we will see benefits from this coming back in Q3 and Q4. India, as we have said, it is the Sweden-India year of health 2019, a lot of activities from Sweden and also, of course, from us. We have a strong cooperation with AIIMS, which is more or less the equivalent to Karolinska. And we are also seeing, even though on a slow level, that sales are picking up in this market. And of course, the challenge with over-consuming antibiotics is really, this is what I would say is the mecca of that challenge in the world. The Middle East, as we said before, 2018 was an interim year for the Middle East, but this year we are seeing that sales is coming back, and we do believe in a very strong growth in the area for 2019. In Europe, as I said, we are upscaling our activities in Germany and really working closely with our partner Acidbonds in targeting the home care market. We're happy that we have concluded a new partnership in Switzerland, which is now in a launch phase. And here we are also seeing that some of the smaller markets, as I said, with Poland and Greece, is showing recurring sales in the area. Latin America has been slow, for sure, but here we are seeing a change now, mainly in Mexico and Brazil, and Canada is a new partnership here. So I'm not mistaken, we are in the MDSAP registration process that is borne completely by our partner, and we are looking forward to see activities as we go forward. So, next page. Looking at the underlying license business, we're happy to see that the former BARD agreement with BD, Becton Dickinson, is stable, very stable, and the underlying business is going in the right direction, so we're very pleased about that. Vigilance, which is the company in the ASEAN markets out of Malaysia, we did have the registration in the second quarter of 2019 for our trauma implants together with them, so we are now preparing for sales start in Q3. And this will and is a very strong, important reference to other orthopedic applications. Smart-wise, there is nothing new to discuss, but as we are aware of, they are in the collaboration agreement with AstraZeneca that was announced in the second quarter 2018. Well-Aid Medical, we have seen new license revenues of $2 million for the first half of 2019 compared to $8 million in 2018. But let's say, again, here we are, as I said earlier, positioning ourselves for future growth and also strengthening the collaboration and activities in all different aspects. And we are looking very, very positively in this area. And as I said, there are several other ongoing discussions, and we will be reporting on them accordingly as we go forward. So let's turn to the next page. During the quarter, we did happily report on the grant that we were given by Vinnova of some $1.5 million for working in vascular stents. Why are we emphasizing this to all of you? Because we are now, together with Professor Staffan Olmin, looking into if the coating of the stents with the Bactiguard technology could reduce the risk of thrombosis in acute and subacute phase and thereby reduce the need of drugs when facing vascular stent treatments. This is, of course, a very new early-stage segment, but it's also very pleasing to see that we are getting outside recognition for this area. Go to the next phase and just look at then the potential of new applications in the license business. If we then look at vascular stents, as you see, coronary stents, yes. As I've highlighted in green, it's a very substantial market of some $5 billion in sales. Here there are some players, and this will be something that we will be emphasizing and accelerating our discussions in. As before, we have concluded that when you compare the current big portfolio of our Foleys, our central venous catheters, and the end-shaped tubes, they amount for a global market of somewhere short of $2 billion. And the trauma implant segment that we are now addressing, it's more or less triple that size of some $5.6 billion. And as we said here, there are some interesting ongoing discussions. Let's move to the next page. We are, and we will continue to work and invest in clinical evidence. Looking around the world, just taking a few examples, we are heavily investing into China in a clinical study that is a requisition given our regulatory approvals with some 800 people that will give us very strong leverage in the area. Malaysia, as we've said before, we are done now with somewhere plus 100 people on trauma implants with very, very promising results. Here there's been an interim publication showing very, very strong results for our technology. India, there's been a very strong clinical trial with somewhere of a neighborhood of 1,000 patients showing very, very strong results for the Bactiguard technology. Europe, we are also continuing the clinical trial in Belgium for the endotracheal tubes in the ICUs with somewhere of 300 patients and also in the Martini clinics. We are also looking more into Swedish activities, just to mention a few, where we are mainly now taking new ground in long-term treatment of patients being on Foleys, urinary tract Foley catheters. And also, of course, in Latin America, we are doing the CRITIC study, where we are using all three products in the ICUs. This is now first in a pilot phase of 100 patients, but this will be expanded as we go forward. So then looking at the next page, I said earlier also that we are strengthening the whole company and preparing it for, let's say, the second phase of our Bactiguard journey. So looking from the board, we are very pleased, as you are aware of, we have the chairman, John Stolberg, also believing very strongly in the pilot case, owning somewhere short of 10%. Mia Arnold, who has been with us since we went into the stock market. And the two new members is, of course, Professor Anna Mattling, with a very, very strong background in the Karolinska Institute and also, as I said, in cancer treatment and cancer research on colon aspect. Thomas von Koch needs no further presentation, but we're very happy to welcome him back into the board. So from the board level, we are very pleased with a strong, very competent board. Looking into the second part, there has been changes in our executive management team. I'm very happy that Cecilia has also now taken on the deputy CEO role, and you've been with us for quite some time now, taking us to the stock market. Jonas Östergård, former AstraZeneca, running our sales and marketing activities. Daniel Lund, Senior Vice President, Operations, also now taking us into the second phase. And last but not least, our chief medical officer that will be joining us in mid-October, and he will be presented accordingly. This is important also that we do see and acknowledge that we are now preparing Bactiguard for the next phase. And this, yes, it takes time, but we are very strongly and firmly believing in that we are doing the right thing to secure the future growth of Bactiguard. And with those words, I would like to hand over to you, Cecilia, to take us through the business model and our financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Christian. So our business model is divided into two parts. The licensing business, whereby we provide our concentrate to other medical device manufacturers and they sell the product in their own name. And then our BIP portfolio, the Bactiguard Infection Protection portfolio, currently consisting of three different products. Sold through distributors around the world. We used to have a small sales team in the Swedish market who was selling directly to the hospitals and the healthcare providers, but now that business is done through distributors, supported by our own sales experts who are in the different regions. The license business is primarily consisting of the long-standing agreement we have with BD, formerly CR Bard. It's a very stable business, and I'm happy to say that they have built a fantastic market position where they have more than 40% market share in the U.S., very strong market position similar to the one in U.S. in Japan, two of the toughest markets in the world. And they've been able to maintain that for quite some time. It is very stable. It varies a little bit between quarters, depending on volume, and of course with the dollar rate, as it's dollar denominated. The other licensing business we have is the one with Welly that we signed last year at an initial revenue of $10 million. Where eight were accounted for last year and $1 million each in the first two quarters of this year. Now we've accounted for all of the upfront license revenue under that agreement, so the next license revenue we will receive is that when the product has been approved for local production in China and start generating recurring revenue. The agreement we have with Welly has generated, Vigilance generated some upfront revenues several years ago. We received the CE mark in December of last year, and in Q2, the product, they received a so-called free sales certificate, meaning that they can start selling in Malaysia. So we're now preparing for the sales start, and expect that to happen at the end of the third quarter. And then with a quarter delay or so, it will slowly start generating royalty revenues for us. Now, of course, with the free sales certificate, they can also register the product in the other Southeast Asian markets where they have the license to sell exclusively. And at the same time, of course, we can use the CE mark as a reference when negotiating with other manufacturers regarding other territories. So, moving on to page 14, financial highlights. Christian has been through most of them already, but I just want to come back to the fact that, yes, the second quarter last year is a tough comparison. It was a very strong quarter. We can see the lumpiness. We haven't delivered any products so far to China, and the sales and growth in the other markets has not been enough to cover the difference. The license revenue from the BD has been higher both in the first and in the second quarter of this year. Some of it is a little bit is related to volume, but essentially it we get benefit from the stronger US dollar. And in the quarter, as I mentioned, each quarter we had $1 million of revenue from the Well Lead agreement, whereas we accounted for $5 million last year, and we had an equal revenue in the first quarter of $1 million. Now the EBITDA margin benefits from that we had a higher proportion of license revenues, which has a higher margin than our bit sales, but also the fact that there's been some technical accounting differences. You are all familiar with the IFRS leasing adjustment. So if we deduct that, the EBITDA level was 3.3 million and the margin was 10% in the quarter. And equally for the first half year, it was 8 million and a margin of 12%. Moving on to page 15, same story there. Yes, revenues from our bit products were lower, but the development in our sales to distributors is still somewhat irregular. We have not yet seen any deliveries to China, but the underlying sales is giving us confidence that it will pave the way for new sales in the second half of this year. On page 16, and you see the distribution of our revenues, we have gradually been reducing our dependence on BD, not because the sales to them have been decreasing, but rather that sales of our own product portfolio and other licensed revenues have been increasing over time. If you look at the quarter individually, you can see that the BD business is dominating it. But I would again like to highlight it. You cannot look at just a single quarter. You need to look at these developments over a longer period of time. And I'm confident that we are moving in the direction of the pie chart on the second, on the right-hand side of this slide and beyond, because our strategy over time is to add both new license revenues and increase sales of our own portfolio to further diminish the dependence on BD. Cash flow and liquidity on page 17. Cash flow for the first half was negative, about 9 million, but then you must take into account that we made a one-off compensation payment to Jianan, our former distributor to China, in the first quarter of this year. It was 11.5 million, and because of the investment they had made in the product registration and for terminating the contract early. The cost was taken last year, but the payment affected cash flow this year. We also amortized our medium-term loan by 7.5 million at the end of June. We have a net cash position. We also have an overdraft facility, so we do have access to more cash than 1.6 million, just over 6 million at the end of the quarter. It's also the fact that some of the payments which were due in late Q2 have fallen into Q3, so the cash position looks much healthier already now at the beginning of the third quarter. So with that, I'd like to hand back to Christian.
Thank you, Cecilia. Then we are concluding the call, and I'm now on page 20. For sure, it's been an eventful quarter, paving the way for growth. But believe me, of course, I'm not satisfied. I couldn't be satisfied with the results. To build a strong healthcare business takes time, but I'm very confident. Why am I confident? Because the underlying need in the world has never been more favorable for Bactiguard. Why does it take so long time? I would like to draw your attention to a fact in Sweden. we sometimes brag and say that we are running in the forefront in Sweden. We're not. It takes, on an average, 17 years for a new proven technology to get a foothold in Sweden. I'm not saying that it's going to take 17 years for us, because it's not. We do see the strong need. Sometimes we need to change a partner, and we do so. We have also upgraded, as I said during this call, our sales organization. We are strengthening on the board level. We are strengthening our management teams. For sure, looking at the facts, though, the revenues and the earnings are lower in the quarter. But as Cecilia said, we need to remember the comparison from last year with the strong sales coming in from China. This, though, having a very strong underlying sales, we also believe very strongly we will be compensated in quarter three and quarter four. We are adding 1 to 2 new markets in Europe, and we are focusing on in-market growth in the area. China is showing very strong traction, and we will be reporting accordingly on that. The CE mark for trauma implants that we received in December is a very, very strong door opener to new partners. And of course, having the grant now in Malaysia also shows that we can now go into sales launch in Malaysia, showing actually true activities. The research grant for developing vascular stents, of course, broaden and strengthening our beliefs in the technology that we are driving forward. And of course, thereby, we will also be allocating more and more resources for the growth in our license business. So when I summarize, it's been a challenge this quarter, but again, the underlying team is very confident in what we're doing, and now it's time for us to also capitalize on this as we go forward. So with those words, I would say that not satisfied, but I am confident for the future growth and that we are on the right word. And with those words, I would like to hand back to you, moderator, and we now open for questions. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02. To cancel. And once again, that is 01 if you would like to ask a question. And our first question comes on the line of Carl Mellerby from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. My first one relates to China. You mentioned that activities in the Chinese market has increased and that Well it has done work to improve its market coverage further. Is it possible to elaborate a bit on if we can expect to see the results of this already during the second half of this year? And also, is it possible to comment on when we can expect to see any data on the development project for vascular stem? Thank you.
Hi, Carlos, Cecilia. With respect to China, yes, we are seeing increased activities in China, and the fact that they have appointed new distributors, new dealers, they're increasing the market coverage. We see that more products are going out in the distribution chain, and that is paving the way for more activities in the second half. Of course, we don't provide any forecasts, but we are confident that we will see a better development in the second half. Then on the development project for vascular stents, that is, it's planned for the second half of this year to start in an animal model, because animals in that respect are very, very similar to humans, at least some animals. We have had in the past indications in studies on our central venous catheters that our coating does not trigger an inflammatory response, hence does not increase the risk of thrombosis, and even that it may decrease. And this is what we, not we, but Staffan Holmin and his research team at the Karolinska Institute will look into. And I think they will conclude, the latest news I have is that they will conclude that study during the autumn, and the publication, the writing of the report and the conclusions should be relatively fast. And you can't always decide on the exact timing of the publication. But provided that everything goes well, I think it will be rather a fast clinical study.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And as there are no further questions registered at the moment, I will hand the word back to the speakers for any closing comments, please.
thank you very much. So, thank you all for listening in today. Just some concluding remarks about the quarter and also about the future. I think it is important to always state the obvious, and as I've said, we are of course not satisfied with the quarter. But it's important also to remember that we're confident in what we're doing. We do see the underlying need in the world, as I've stated earlier, and this will also be represented in future quarters as we go along. We're strengthening the company. This is a continuous journey, and we are very strongly feeling also that we're doing the right moves. This is also good investments for future growth. More and more activities are opening up in the license area. And when we look, if I just draw your attention to slide number 19, our growth strategy, it is important that we all remember it's driven by three different parts. Of course, the BIP portfolio, where we are also saying, as for our 2020 targets, the financial targets that are still firm, we do intend and we feel very strongly that we are on the right way as for increasing our market penetration in existing markets. We are strengthening our clinical evidence, and we are adding some new markets in the EU. But to fulfill our targets in the BIP area, we are not looking at chasing new markets around the world. And this gives us also confidence. In the license area, as we have said, these deals, even though I know some of you are frustrated, yes, they do take time. We are very, very strongly working on several ongoing discussions here, and we are hoping to come back to you within short about results in the area. Here also, given the vascular stents, we see that new opportunities are also opening up. And the last part of our growth strategy is of course to also expand on our own portfolio. We are now present in the urinary tract Foley. We have the endotracheal tubes in the respiratory field, and we have the central venous lines. So of course for us to add new applications to that current offering will also benefit us going forward. So again, with those words, I'm saying that I'm confident, I'm humble, and I do feel that we are on the right track, and this is also what we will see going forward. So with those words, I thank you all for listening, and I look forward to talking to all of you within short again. Thank you all. Bye.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.